100 word stories.
Good morning. Well, it's not even morning yet. It's still night out. I woke up early and it was like, shit, put on the headphones and yeah, I still haven't figured out what's wrong with the Yeti. Probably have to get another, even though it's working perfectly fine. Bring it to work and, you know, plug it into the Mac, see if it works on that. Okay, cool. It'll just stay there and it doesn't work with this laptop, this Asus. I don't know what the deal is. I used to be so good with these computer things. Now I'm just dumb as a rock. Hi. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. Not dead yet, so let's have us a weekly challenge. I post the topic, you come up with the story. And the topic this week was cook, and we have a whole bunch of cooks, not too many. We've got Ginger, Jeffrey, Richard, who's a little less confused this week, Charlie, Lizzie, Serendipity, Steven the Nuclear Man, haven't heard that name for a while, welcome back, how you doing, Tom, Norval Joe, who's having a few recording issues, I don't know if my microphone is goofed up, but I use the headset, LP works those out, it's so frustrating when things don't work. And text-to-speech, I mean, I had this text reader thing. I'll ramble it in a bit, but... And also, we've got Dwayne. Don't want to distract from that. And also, Planet Z. So, this text reader thing. I've recently upgraded to the iPhone 8 Plus. I think I'm the only person in the world that's done that. And it lost all of my old apps because I did the transfer backup and then restore from iTunes, but I wasn't saving my apps and everything just went crazy. So it was reloading all of the apps from the internet. So all the stuff like DraftPad that's out of date, gone. I had to get another word counter when I tap out things. And I lost my text-to-speech, which could save a file. So that's kind of frustrating. I need to get a new one of those. And if anyone's got any recommendations for a text-to-speech, even though I don't use it unless, I don't know, I'm so depressed because a cat has died or something like that. So, a whole bunch of things for me to ramble on. I will put in the show notes when it's safe to actually start listening, because Gilbert Gottfried has turned into like 10 minutes of ads. Mark Maron is like half an hour of him wanking off about his life and no one gives a crap. I mean, that's what it's all about. When you start putting ads or that kind of stuff and you start monologuing, I have no excuse for it because I've got no ads. But I've got a few topics I want. One, I got home from Florida. I mean, the phrase, we were forced to move to the Ritz, said in no language whatsoever in the history of the universe. But we were. There were renovations at the W, that the construction noise, and then the hurricane. The Ritz, on the other hand, was ready. So they moved over there, and the organizers did a great job. I met a lot of people that are in the industry. I went around scaring them as the Grim Reaper. The less said about that, the better, so that I don't, you know, people don't realize, wait, what the hell did you do? Wandering around the Ritz-Carlton as the Grim Reaper. Staff doesn't like it for some reason. So we ran an escape room, and I think it went well. And I'll blog about it at the company blog at some point. I've still got to work up this draft and keep it in my kind of lingo and style, but still have a corporate voice to it. That's kind of hard. Let's see what else. So that was kind of cool, the beach and sunrises. And I posted photos. Yes, the bunny got out there and had fun. It's just... also, I don't have my... I threw out my business cards because I thought they were too dark and too grumpy. And so I used blank business cards and just wrote them out. I thought they would be stylish, but they look kind of clowny. But the good thing is, everyone else who forgot to bring them, I gave them a few. And they signed theirs, so I look less clowny. But their handwriting is a lot better. So that was cool. I forgot to take a photo of any cats and post them all week. So, yeah, I guess I'm posting one now so that I'll have one for this episode. Should I put out a poll that says, hey, should I do George? I really haven't had people, you know, pimping up, hey, do all George Story 2018, which shows that nobody is either listening or responding or whatever. So I know you care because I can hear you breathing in the stories that you send. And I know there are people that are not sending in stories that are listening still after all these years. You're all not dead yet. So let me know. And that leads into the podcast awards and whatever, and the Hall of Fame and all that other stuff, and the International Podcasting Day. And I mean, I saw some familiar names. I mean, way to go, Gary Leland. Cool. Podcast Pickle. Still near and dear in my heart. But it just, I see all this, like Rob Walsh, Podcast 411. He had some really good tips back in the day. And all that. And it's just cool that these people are teaching others, using this as a teaching opportunity and not a self-promotion opportunity, primarily, which is what I found that awards usually are. And those kind of annoy me, and that's why I stay out of that whole awards thing. Do it for the love of it. Do it for the love of the game. And don't monetize. If you have a decent job, don't monetize it. Unless you really, really need the money. Right now, I don't think I do. Now, in 20 years, when I'm really old and really sick, and all the horrible lifestyle choices that I've had come back to really haunt me, okay, I'm going to regret that. Tough, you know. My future self, you know, tough on you. Boo-hoo. At least you had your integrity. Now suck on this oxygen bottle, and here's a truckload of insulin. So, yeah. Other stuff? Who cares? No, but thank you all for everything and the nice notes here and there, and just, it's cool. It's just cool that we're still doing this after all these years, although it's kind of, I just, you know, do whatever in a vacuum, but I pretend to feel, you know, the sociopath's credo, as long as I make it look like I'm feeling. So here are some stories. And I hope you enjoy them. I always say I hope you enjoy them. I know you're going to enjoy them. Until you run across Planet Z's, and then you're going to be like, well, what the hell is this? So, here we go.
Hello, night people. Tom here. My story tonight is called A Well-Kept Secret. Both Bligh and Vancouver pondered the motives of the captain. Under the pretext of fur trade, they put off to the 50th degree north, up the strait, pressing into Salish territory, puzzled Cook's officers. They had pelts aplenty. Why cut inward? Further, on the second day out, the captain directed the pilot to a particular point heavily marked on Cook's personal nautical chart. A chest was brought up from the hold, a line secure, and it was lowered into the water with a care that underscored the importance of the mission. He handed the chart to Vancouver. Keep this safe. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Good morning, Richard here, and just one story, so let's get on with it. Business wasn't exactly booming. To be honest, it was taking a dive, but I reckoned I could save it with the right investors on board. I visited an accountant who had a somewhat less than squeaky clean reputation. My instructions were simple. Cook the books. I realize now I should have taken a little more care. When I turned up to see the results, he served my accounts pan-fried and with a delicious red wine sauce. Top tip, always check you're dealing with the accountant, not some random chef who happens to work in the same building. There you go, I'm done. So until next time, goodbye.
I learned to cook at the Culinary Academy of America in upstate New York. Today I cook for an Italian restaurant in town. We have a small menu but large wine list. Most of my regulars are rich and happy to pay for the overpriced food and wine. I sprinkle a little something, ketamine, in every entree, and it seems to brighten things up for everyone. Some do takeout after their meal. The house specialty is a Philadelphia classic cheesesteak with Wagyu ribeye cut with foie gras and topped with truffled homemade fontina cheese on a sesame roll. Number 2. The executive chef was a big, sweaty Greek. Mr. Ferentinos was an obnoxious bully. He picked on the weakest members of the kitchen staff and made some of them cry. He would smack the back of their neck with his tattooed forearm if any new staff that did not jump and answer with a, "Yes, chef," when he barked a command. One of the salad chefs, a fellow from Turkey, was a quiet man, but underneath his smile, he seethed. The chef was absent one Saturday, and the braised meat appeared to have markings similar to the chef's tattoos.
I can almost see steam. Her face reddens a shade with each of my words. There's an art to it. You must be patient. Heat it too fast, and it's burnt. Temperature too low, and it's underdone. You've got to take your time and apply the heat just right. She's almost ready, finger wagging, cheeks flaming. One last dash of spice.
At least your sister's a better lay.
She boils over, reaching for the knife I placed nearby, raising it up as I pull the gun from my pocket and shoot her down. It's self-defense. My compliments to the chef.
Background music is Only He Understands Me by the Crypt Sisters on the Music for Vampires release.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. They say, the more you cook something, the less nutritious it becomes. Vitamins and goodness leach out, along with most of the flavor. I advise eating all your food raw. You can't beat the healthy crunch of fresh vegetables. Or the taste of a handful of fruit, plucked straight from the tree, full of goodness, and exactly as nature intended. No, there's nothing better than fruit and vegetables raw, unprocessed and without additives and chemicals. At least, that's what they tell me. Personally, I hate them. I'm a carnivore, and I love my food. Raw, alive, and struggling.
Hi, everyone. Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. "Fresh," said the farmer, his voice reaching an annoying pitch. "Check the pumpkins, miss. Fresh. Not that plastic-tasting garbage." The lady nodded and moved on. Everyone walked away quickly. Only he knew how difficult it was to grow these darn things. The seeds became purple if he stored them for too long. The water made them blue, and painting each one with a natural food coloring substance was hard work. Plus, after cooked, his pumpkins made people immortal. Surely a bonus. "Perhaps I should work on my marketing strategies," he said, adjusting his voice to the perfect octave. And this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcove.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dwayne here with another 100-word story. And now, Cook. Tarnation, Cookie. This is about the best stew I have ever tasted on any drive. It's like that ambrosia the old gods were a-eatin', or some of that manna they talk about in the Good Book. I had me a stew in a New York restaurant one time, and this stew just plain runs circles around it. Come on, Cookie. What's your secret?
Well, all right. You know how I collect up them buffalo chips all day as we make our way down the trail?
Yeah, for stoking the cook fire, right?
Sure, right. Who's ready for some seconds? Eat up.
Cook, by Ginger. Ned was feeling the pinch one summer and decided that he had to become more self-reliant. He made bannock in his bachelor suite each day with nothing more than flour, water, salt, and sugar. The tasteless cakes were not leavened. They did not bake to a crisp finish. They were both dead and lead heavy. And the truth is, Ned really never had been much of a cook. I'd never seen dead food before. What possible benefit could come from consuming dried poster paste? I witnessed him eat his rations wordlessly on more than one occasion. Not once did it dawn on me that I was being shamed and that he expected me to don an apron. He was a survivalist in the making, and I could not make heads or tails of the necessity of dead weight bannock. No berries, no fat, no juicy meat. We were just not there yet. Normally, I would enjoy stewing beef, or simmering potluck, or test-tasting broth, but not for Ned.
Hello. It's me again. Philip Norville Joe Carroll's computer. I'm being a pain in the butt and probably need to be replaced, so I'll make his life as miserable as possible while I can. This is his entry for the weekly challenge number 597 with a prompt of cook. Here is Philip's weak attempt at storytelling. Axelrod tore open the self-seals of the pockets at thigh level on his jumpsuit. He slapped them closed again. If anyone shared the remote passageway with him, they might recognize his nervous behavior. Astra said the delivery should happen before 3:75 and here it was 4:10, already. An agent was supposed to bring him a vial of diethyl fluorocarbonate, one of the components used to cook up a batch of the popular stimulant called dust. To Axel's surprise, a man entered the passage from the connective link wearing a uniform jumpsuit, identifying him as a Galactic Battle Base security officer. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 597 on the topic of cook. Because it's week 597, my math prowess suggests there's only three more weeks to go before the big 600th episode. So we're all looking forward to that, I assume. My story today is called The Mob Accountant. Brian was hired by the Giacomo family to keep their books. Two sets of books, actually. One that the IRS got to see, one that only the Don and his closest confidants were privy to. This worked well for years, but Brian got greedy. He started to cook the books yet another way, disguising the skim he was taking from the Giacomos. What Brian didn't know was that Joey Jr., the Don's youngest, was a CPA, focusing on forensic accounting. When Joey discovered the discrepancies, Brian's goose was cooked. As was Brian, screaming all the way as they lowered him into the boiling water. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
After the fire, I needed to replace my birth certificate. So I contacted Cook County's registrar, and they told me to go to their website. Sure enough, I could order a copy of my birth certificate online. All I had to do was enter a bunch of information about me. But what if I ordered somebody else's birth certificate? Or someone else order mine? I mean, how could they prove I was me?
Oh, that never happens, said the registrar.
So I got a copy of the registrar's birth certificate. And they'll be buying a new car, a new house.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of cook. Weren't those great? Let the authors know how much you appreciated their stories in the comments at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, or if you're doing your stories, compliment them within the stories that you send in for the next weekly challenge, which is in the topic of mask. What is it? What is it with comments? You get in the rush. You don't want to type things out. You want my phone number? You want to call me up and just say, hey, those were cool. Drop me a note. I'll give it to you. You can text me. Well, you can put it in the comments, and then everyone can see that you're doing it. Well, I don't want to be seen that I'm complimenting. What if I hate them after a while? I'll have to go back and erase them all. Oh, gross. Social media is so evil. Speaking of social media, 100-word stories on Twitter, Facebook, here and there, and so on and so on. Sell some ads for some other big company. I don't want to see a dime. Keep it away from me. I don't know what else to say, so thank you for listening and being a part of this. And, as always, keep it brief.